Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
A very good evening to you, and welcome back to Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and as ever, I hope you've had a wonderful week so far. In tonight's programme, we'll be taking a look at FC Isle of Man. We'll also be taking a look at the next big thing for the Isle of Man on the cycling scene, and also a pivotal time of year in Manx tennis. Well, starting tonight, we start with football. And whilst it might only feel like yesterday for some, since FC Isle of Man's extraordinary first ever season came to an end, the Ravens have begun their preparations for their next campaign for 2022-23. This time around, the Manx side have a packed pre-season fixture schedule taking place during July, with five games penned in, all taking place at the Bowl. So, how are plans going ahead of FC Isle of Man's new chapter in the NWCFL Premier Division? I caught up this week with the club's director of football, Paul Jones.
Preparations have been going for this season since about 6 weeks ago, so while we were playing. So yeah, the season went on longer than expected, but for great reasons. You know, the squad that we put out in the cup did exceptionally well, and it was amazing to have a home victory there. Unfortunately, I missed it because I was struck down with the dreaded. But the lads did amazingly well, and the whole club did amazingly well last season. And we're so proud of what we've achieved on and off the pitch. And yeah, it's kind of more of the same, really. You know, we're back in. We had a bit of a 10-day break over practice week in TT as a staff, so as we could kind of reset a little bit and re-energise. And we've got a bit more energy than we had anyway. So we're ready to go again. So yeah, we're just kind of putting the plans in place, really, for ensuring pre-season is how we want it, and then making sure we've got everything in place for the league season to start on the 30th of July. So we've had a year's kind of practice. We know what's coming now, which is great. And hopefully we can do a even more efficient and effective job, both on and off the pitch, so the players are as well prepared as possible, and the supporters have a great experience following the club.
Just on the players there, they've started the pre-season schedule. Every player loves pre-season, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I used to get, back when I used to play, which is a long, long time ago, I used to get quite excited at pre-season. The smell of the newly cut grass, the pitch looking amazing, you might have a new pair of boots to wear. And yeah, our lads are on an artificial pitch twice a week and running up the gaswork steps on a Friday. So, you know, Lee and Chris are putting them through their paces. You know, the first kind of 2 or 3 weeks is about building some baseline fitness for them, getting some key messages over to the lads. And then from the 2nd of July, the games start, and it turns a little bit more about kind of tactical and technical requirements to play in a competition in a league that is a step above where we were last year.
Yeah, and coming on to that schedule, obviously you've got five pre-season fixtures scheduled throughout July, all at home as well. Looking at some of the teams in there, when you talk about like Nostalman as well, Fair, Widnes, Altrincham, Shifnal Town, and then Guernsey in the Skipton Cup, all differing levels as well. Was that done on purpose?
Very much so. You know, we were inundated really with interest, which was great, and we went back to some of the clubs that wanted to come last year but couldn't because of the border restrictions, and unfortunately a couple of them were able to come again this year. And yeah, we really wanted to give not just the players an experience of differing levels, but also the fans, and maybe also against teams that they wouldn't normally see. So, you know, we certainly wanted to go outside of, you know, the Northwest Counties football to give everybody a different experience. And we've got, as you say, Nostal, who are step six, so the level we were at last year. Widnes, who are the level above us at step four. Alti, who are a National League side, who have gone full time this season. So that'll be a huge test on the 16th of July. And on that same day after them, we're playing Shifnal, who are at step five, so the same level of us, and then going into the Guernsey game and the Skipton Cup on the 23rd of July as a step four club, so again a level above us. So it should be a really good test for everybody. You know, we've kept prices down as much as we can. You know, £5 for adults, £2.50 for children, and concessions for all of our pre-season games. If people who buy tickets for the Altrincham game will be able to stay in for free for the Shifnal game, because they're being played back to back. So hopefully the pre-season experience will be a good one for everybody. It's pretty full on, you know, five games in 4 weeks, so it's pretty full on. But yeah, all at home, which hopefully means we get a few people interested again, and momentum builds, and once the fixtures are maybe released beginning of July and season tickets are available from towards the end of June, then, you know, we can really build that momentum for the first game of the season on the 30th of July.
And this is something that you didn't have the luxury of at the start of last season, of course, something you mentioned, of course, the border restrictions at the time, not getting a full pre-season schedule in, whereas you can now. Just how important is that going into this new season?
It's hugely important for Chris and the players and Lee to get the messages over that they want, for the lads to have, you know, at least remembered what it feels like to play with each other again on the football pitch, you know, four or five times before they go into a competitive fixture. You know, last year we were playing a little bit of catch up, you know, the results we had against tough teams, albeit tough teams away from home, maybe weren't what they could have been had we had that pre-season. So we're expecting it to really show from the first game of the season this year, and there's kind of, you know, we haven't got any excuses, have we? You know, we've had a really good prep. Hopefully all the teams are coming, you know, we've got a really good quality of team coming, and the lads can use that to prepare for the season. And then, you know, it's at it from day one. You know, we hopefully, fingers crossed, all being well, there's going to be no changes in anything else. So we're home and away all season. You know, that mountain of 18 away games back to back, you know, we hopefully will never have to do that again, in the same way we probably will never have 19 home games back to back either. So it'll be a normal football season. So from a fan perspective, it'll be like, you know, following any other team, and hopefully pre-season sets everybody up for the start of what hopefully will be another memorable year for FC Isle of Man.
Speaking of the squad in particular, what is the situation at the moment personnel wise?
Yeah, so we don't have anybody contracted, so that means all the players as of the 1st of June, as they are in Manx football, are free agents. We can't sign anybody on until the 1st of July. So I think Chris and Lee at the moment are using the opportunity to have a good look at a variety of players during the training programme. And then the 1st of July, we'll look to sign a group of players to take us through the start of pre-season and the first games of the season. So yeah, I mean, I think Chris and Lee have got their ideas about what they want to do, but we won't be signing anyone or making any announcements until the 1st of July.
And I've got to ask, because some people have mused about this, whether it's off Ireland, has there been any interest in any of the FC Isle of Man players, or has there been any interest from FC Isle of Man side of things in others coming across, possibly?
I guess you do have to ask. Again, they're not players aren't contracted, so, you know, we would hope, and because they're free agents, the clubs could go directly to the players, and it's up to the players to whether they tell us or not. So we're not aware of anyone having any significant approaches to take them off the Isle of Man. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if some clubs are interested, but, you know, the hook of playing in front of, you know, 2,500 people in front of a community that you are part of and that means an awful lot to you, they're going to have to be paying quite a lot of money to take players away from full-time jobs and families and friends and that experience of playing for FC Isle of Man. So we're not aware of anybody leaving us leaving the island to go and play. You know, the university lads who were able to sign again this year, it wouldn't surprise me if a few of the clubs in their areas around their universities might be interested in signing them. So they might have some decisions to make, but no, we've got a squad of players on the Isle of Man. We're not looking to bring anyone from off island on island. If people move to the Isle of Man or players move back home to the Isle of Man, then obviously we'll consider them. But the manager's got a great group of players who they worked with last year. We probably won't be signing quite so many as we signed last pre-season, this pre-season. So there's certainly a bit of a fight for places, really, I think, over the next few weeks and during pre-season to become an established member of the squad. And hopefully the players have learned what that commitment looks like. They've been incredible all last season with their commitment levels. But, you know, we're going to have four extra league games. You know, we've got the FA Vars, Macron Cup, where we're drawn against Liverpool, AFC Liverpool, on the 15th of October for that week. So we could be up somewhere close to 55, 60 games next season. So it's a big commitment for them.
Obviously, there's quite a lot of people waiting to see when the new league fixtures might come out. FC Isle of Man going up into the NWCFL Premier Division. Do you know anything about that at this stage?
We're wondering the same, to be honest. The league had their AGM on Saturday, and we're at the bottom of the pyramid. You know, step five, step six is still classed as grassroots football. So, you know, the Premier League announced their results, which they did last week, and then there's a knock-on from that. So day by day, other leagues higher above us will release their fixtures, and then we'll be able to, or our league will be able to announce theirs once Step 3 and Step 4 have announced, which I'm hearing might be next week sometime at the latest. And then they need to look at ground shares and, you know, making sure there's no fixture clashes in local areas. And so we would hope by the first week of July at the latest, but it's very much in the hands of the league. And, you know, as much as we'd love to tell people when our games are going to be and who we're going to be playing against, we really do. I just have to wait for the league to share that information.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
FC Isle of Man's Director of Football, Paul Jones there. Okay, moving on, we take a look at cycling now, and it was a big weekend last weekend for Cycling Club Isle of Man as they made their competitive debut in a prestigious off-island competition. The club's men's squad took part in the Carjaras Taltine in the Republic of Ireland over 5 days between the 15th and 20th of June. So how did the team think they did, and what are they now planning after their maiden outing? I spoke to the team's manager, Connor Davies.
We went over and competed in the RAS in Ireland, what's probably one of the longest stage races amateurs and non-professional UCI teams competing in Europe, I believe. And it's quite a big race in Ireland. There's a lot of people who respect it quite high, and it did deserve a better rating than it got, but due to just funding issues with the race the last couple of years, and it's been cancelled due to the funding and COVID, that it was run as just another race. Normally it's a UCI, what is quite a big deal, and it's one of four UCI races in the UK and Ireland, definitely the only in Ireland.
It's a prestigious race in itself over in Ireland, so to go in there for your debut, did you feel under pressure in any way to perform, given the standard of the event?
Not particularly, because we knew the guys we had, and we knew... We always went in thinking we had half the team go in there who have done these sort of races before, and then obviously with what we're doing with the cycling team, we want to give a chance to people who wouldn't do them races normally, and as long as they showed willing that they wanted to do it, we're willing to give them a chance. And so we had a few guys who we said this is going to put you on the map, and then some guys who just said just enjoy it, see what cycling at this sort of level is about, and just get the experience.
Particularly in the first stage, you guys had a very strong start, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't want to say it was unexpected, but I wasn't expecting for the first day of a brand new team, and we didn't have too much time to prepare for it. I wasn't expecting to in the top 10 on the first day at all, especially after being in the race and in the team car. I know how fast and hard it was, so it was unexpected, but we did believe the guys could do it.
So going into stage two, that's when some of the challenges started to emerge. There were a couple of crashes for the likes of Adam, Niall and Mark.
Yes, so stage two couldn't have gone much worse to start off with such a big crash happening. And me and the mechanic knew something big had happened on the road. We couldn't see it because we were in the convoy, but just the experience these commissaires would have, they've seen crashes before, and you could just tell in his voice something big had happened. And it turned out 40-50 guys had hit the deck quite hard, and unfortunately Adam was involved in that. It happened right at the front, and I believe Mark came down in that as well, but he got off. He was up and gone before we got to Adam. And then we were waiting for the ambulance for Adam, but because obviously so many guys came down, we were waiting for a long time. And in that time, Niall had crashed as well, further up the road, about 100k to go, and he needed another bit of equipment. He'd broken his back wheel and had some nasty cuts to his arms. And then that was his race day over, and he managed to get to the finish. And thankfully, the organisers understood what happened and how rare that kind of situation is.
Important to stress, isn't it, that Adam and Niall are doing okay, aren't they?
Yeah, they're both. Niall's back riding his bike again. Adam, he got checked out by the race doctor, and we went to hospital, and he got checked out, but obviously with concussion, you don't really know what's going on there. But he seems to be doing well. We kept an eye on him, and he's hopefully going to start doing some light riding again in the next couple of days.
come the end of the race as well. It had the likes of James Harrison up in those points positions. The team finished 11th in the overall team classification. In terms of both the team performance and some of the individual performances, you wanted to be in and around those sort of classification jerseys. How well do you think you met your objectives?
Yeah, I don't think the overall team result shows what we did at that race. We were unlucky with the crashes, but with James obviously being very consistent and the guys just doing everything they did, we deserved a higher up place in the team. And I think without them crashes, we would have been knocking on the door for a top five team. But it's the way bike racing goes. I think everyone knows you start a bike race, there's always a possibility things are going to go wrong. And sadly for us, that it did happen, but we've got a lot of positives out. And I don't think we could have asked for a better debut, really.
With the RAS now done, what's next for Cycling Club Isle of Man in the coming months?
Yeah, so we've got a busy couple of weeks. We've got James and Corin go into the under 23 Tour of Wales. We've got again James and Jamie go into a round of the Premier Calendars, what's the highest level you can race at in the UK. And then the big one at the end of July with the Manx International, where we're going to try and field a full team and carry on where we left off at the RAS.
In terms of what you've learnt from the RAS, what are the main sort of lessons you've taken from being in Ireland that you can take into these next upcoming events that you've spoken about?
Yeah, I think we're done with a little time we organised. It showed that the group of people we've got behind the scenes can get things done, and obviously we've got the riders to get results. And yeah, we just took a lot from the RAS. There's some little things we need to smooth over, but everyone was happy, and we're just all we can do is keep improving, and I think that's all we can do. And the results will come from that, as long as we keep the management side with the sporting club. If we just keep doing what we're doing, the results will come.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
And rounding things off tonight, we're taking a look at tennis now. And this week has seen the 2022 Isle of Man Senior Ireland County Championships get underway. The competition began last Saturday, the 18th of June, with some of the best of Manx tennis facing off over a week of games. Well, this weekend sees the finals taking place, and there's an extra twist of a challenge competitors are contending with this year as well. To tell us more, here's Paul Jarvis of the Isle of Man LTA.
So tennis is now very much a 365-day sport. So, you know, we've started the year. It's fairly low-key in the first few months. We have a couple of tournaments for the juniors. And then during the month of April, May, we start to kick off with some major tournaments around the island, playing at some of the major clubs. So Albany Tennis Club, Douglas Tennis Club, also later in the year during the Ramsey as well. And there's also some tournaments down in the Castletown area.
And obviously, looking into this weekend, it's a big time for the Senior Championships. They have already got underway, but we're right at the business end of it now, aren't we?
We are. And the Senior Championships commenced last weekend. So we had a full programme running over the weekend period. In fact, over the last weekend, we played 27 matches. I think there's probably about 68 matches to play throughout the whole tournament week, from what I can see. And so we're working through that. We've got some fairly notable players playing in that. People who have played in the tournament for many years, and also quite a few newcomers to the sport, and youngsters also from the age of 14, 15 playing in the senior championships.
Just taking a look at this weekend, could you give us an idea of what the specific schedule is for the coming next couple of days?
We have five events running, the men's singles, ladies singles, the same in the doubles and a mixed doubles. So in the men's singles, we've got a very big draw this year. Notably, people coming through are the seeded players. Number one seed this year is a guy called Sean Drury. He's a really good player. Been in the final last 2 years. So has Mark Chin, also another good player on the island, been playing a while. He's a bit older. Mark's won it the last 2 years. I think I wouldn't bet against those two players getting to the final on Sunday. And we'll look to see who will win that one. In the ladies event, we've got the ever-young Karen Farragher. She's won this title 21 times in the past. You wouldn't bet against her getting to the final. I think she'll be playing a junior, looking at the draw, so I think she'll be playing somebody less than half her age.
Looking forward as well into the next couple of months. You've quite rightly said there, tennis is effectively an all-year-round sport. Some of those might see it on TV, for example, when you look at the likes of Wimbledon, think it's mainly a summer sport. That's not the case, is it? And also, there's something about these championships in terms of the courts that are actual competitors are playing on this time that's a little bit different, isn't there?
You're absolutely right, Rob. The it is an all the year round sport, and it is a very different for them this year. The championships is being hosted at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club. Last September, they laid four brand new artificial clay courts. Now, they're the first ever clay courts to be laid on the islands, so this will be the first championships to be played on the clay courts. A new surface for most of the players, and therefore you don't know who's going to like them and who's not. But we'll find out on certainly on Sunday afternoon. We've got a men's singles final starting at 12 o'clock on Sunday. We've got the ladies singles as also at 12, followed by the doubles for both those events. And the mixed doubles again, very competitive, and that's playing on a Saturday afternoon at half three. So it'll be interesting.
And the fact that you said it there yourself is the fact that some competitors might take to these new courts and some might not. That could change things up, I guess, in the next couple of weeks or months to come, couldn't it, in terms of where people are finding the advantage and whether it might be a disadvantage to some others?
You're absolutely right. Playing on a clay court is very different to playing on a hard court. And you only have to look at that if you think about playing at Roland Garros, who might win that event, as opposed to who might win, say, the US Open. You'll probably find different players in the final, and therefore the same surfaces don't suit all the players. On a clay court, you've got to learn to slide. That is the difference. You can't do that on a hard court.
Just to round things off a little bit, I guess, looking forward into the next couple of weeks and months after the championships this weekend, what else have we got in store going into, let's say, July and August?
Okay, so shortly coming up, in fact, also at the weekend, we've got a new event called Play Your Way to Wimbledon. It's new in terms of its title has changed from what it used to be called, but it's got a new sponsor this year, and the winner of these events, and this event is for an under 14 category, the winners, the winning boy and the winning girl, get to go and represent the island and play against every other county winner in the UK down on the Wimbledon courts on the grass. We've got the girls tournament on Saturday afternoon, this Saturday afternoon coming, that's tomorrow, and the following weekend we're playing the boys. So that'll be interesting and a challenge for them. Very prestigious event, and our trophies have arrived, so a trophy for the winner and runner-up in that one. Other than that, we also have our veterans tournament, the championships for the vets, the over 35 players, although some of them are playing in our senior championships. That plays at the end of July. And then later on in the season, at the end of August, we have a junior championship specifically for the small ones, so the younger children. That's the under 8s, under 9s, under 10s, under 12s, under 18s. So they have their own championship, and that's also very competitive, as you can imagine.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Well, that's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio this evening. Once again, many thanks to my guests this week, Paul Jones, Paul Jarvis, and Connor Davies. Well, have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have yourself a wonderful weekend as well. So, until next time, bye for now.